sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. So he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives in the carts, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took the livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all of his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
I emphasize to you this morning that the Lord of glory has revealed himself in a very special way to us. And you just heard it. In his word, he has revealed himself to us. We thank God and praise God that he speaks to us. And even now this morning, through this scripture, God will speak to us. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's ask God's help. Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming before you. We thank you for the privilege of worship. And Father, we realize that you have provided that privilege. You have done it through your Son, Jesus Christ. The way is opened. We come to you now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for music and scripture that has directed our attention to you. And now, Father, we come as humble children, little children before you. And before us is your word. And Father, we know that it is sufficient. We know that it's profitable and it's beneficial. It will make us complete. It will perfect us. It will equip us for every good work. Father, by your Spirit this morning, open our eyes, our hearts to you. Help us to learn of you and how you work in the lives of your people this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. I want to begin today by reminding you of the sovereignty of God. When we think of our studies in the life of Joseph, I want you to think about the sovereignty of God. All through this record of Joseph and his family, we have seen the mighty and mysterious hand of God working. Let me remind you also of two purposes of God's sovereign working in this family. Think about Joseph, think about Jacob, think about their family, what we've looked at in these months as we've studied this passage and these scriptures. First of all, God is working to bring Jacob and his family to Egypt. And this record of Joseph, his brothers, their father Jacob, is the record of how Israel ends up in Egypt. And that's important in the history of the nation of Israel. And folks, that's important in our lives today as God's people. But second, I want to remind you that God is working to fulfill the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 15, and Genesis 17. Hold your place and go back with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And look with me at verses 2 and 3. God is working to fulfill the promise that he made to Abraham. Look at what God says. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 2. He says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so, folks, this move to Egypt will be used by God to make the people of Israel, the family of Jacob, and the descendants of Abraham great. God had made this promise. And so don't lose sight of how God's working in this family and working in these individual lives. It's in Egypt that God will form a nation and a people that will follow Him. And it's in Egypt that God will teach the descendants of Abraham and the family of Jacob to trust in God and to trust in God alone. This will take place in Egypt. So this morning, let's turn our attention again to Genesis chapter 46. This is the Word of God. I want you to see this passage in three parts. If you look at verses 1 through 7, you'll see the record of Jacob's travel to Egypt. And what's important in this travel to Egypt, it takes place at the southernmost border of Canaan in a place called Beersheba. If you look at verses 8 through 27, you will see a list of names. And I make a promise right now to David Martin that you will not have to read those names next week. Now, we might not spend much time in looking at those names specifically next week, but we'll see why it's important that there's a list of names. That's important. And then finally, we'll look at verses 28 to 34, and you'll see the reunion between Joseph and his father Jacob, and it's truly a special reunion. We'll take two Sundays to look at Genesis chapter 46. Let's now begin to work our way through this very special chapter. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that Jacob enters Egypt. Look at Genesis 46, verse 1. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Perhaps this is a good time to remind you that Jacob has another name, and that name is Israel. God gave him that name in Genesis chapter 32 when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. The name means prince with God. And so as we work our way through this chapter and other places here in this part of Genesis, when you see that name Israel, that's speaking about Jacob. Jacob's family would be called the children of Israel. The nation of Israel today carries the name of Jacob. The nation of Israel today is the family of Jacob. I want you to think about this trip to Egypt. This was not a day trip. This was not a short visit. Go back to Genesis chapter 45 and look at verse 28. Then Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." Jacob was traveling to Egypt to see his son Joseph. Jacob was traveling to Egypt to die. Verse 1 in chapter 46 says that he took all that he had. He wasn't leaving anything behind. He took it all. Folks, this was a permanent move that Jacob was making to Egypt. And I would submit to you this morning that this was a huge step of faith by this man, Jacob. Throughout our study in the life of Joseph And we've spent some of this study looking at Jacob in some detail. But throughout this study, we have seen the shortcomings of Jacob in how he raised his family, in how he treated his sons, in how he responded to the troubles and the trials that were in his life. But folks, God had chosen Jacob with all his failings, with all his flaws. God chose him. I think it's a great reminder that God does the same today. He chooses people despite our sin, despite our failings. And now, in this passage this morning, we see the faith of Jacob. Now, we say it's a huge step of faith for several reasons. Think about this. First of all, Jacob was 130 years old. 130 years old. In this time of man's history, this is old. For a 130-year-old man to move to Egypt, this would be quite the journey. And it's not only him, but it's his whole family. It's everything that they had. As the crow flies, this is about 200 miles from Canaan to Egypt, where they would settle in Egypt. And folks, it's not by truck, and it's not by car, it's not by airplane, it's not by U-Haul. It's not the international giveaway for Jacob and his family. This was by wagon. This is an act of faith. Jacob and his family will leave Canaan, and they will travel to Egypt. But there's more, and I think that the more is more important. Because second, this is a huge step of faith for Jacob to go to Egypt because of the promises of God. God's promises. You see, God had given to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob the land of Canaan. It was the land of promise. That's what we call it. The land of promise, or oftentimes the promised land. The land of Canaan. And Jacob knew the danger of leaving the promised land and moving to Egypt. You see, this land was connected to him. God had made this promise to his grandfather and his father and to himself. God said, I will give you this land. This land is yours. And Jacob knew that there were hazards in leaving that land of promise. His grandfather Abraham had moved to Egypt during a time of famine and had gotten into serious trouble. His father Isaac had specifically been told by God not to go to Egypt. You see, Egypt represented a place of danger and a place of compromise. And what's more, Jacob had spent much of his early adult life outside of Canaan due to his sin. And during those years when he was outside of Canaan, he had planned and plotted how he might return to Canaan, that land of promise. And so it must have been, think about it, it must have been an overwhelming thought to consider moving to Egypt and dying outside of the land of Canaan, that land of promise. And yet, he went. He went. He went to see his son Joseph. But I also believe that he went in response to God's word. We mentioned this last week, but remember in Genesis chapter 15 when God told Abraham, when God repeated his promise to Abraham, he told Abraham about his future descendants. And he told Abraham that his future descendants would be strangers in a land, and they would be servants in that land. And so I think that Jacob knew that God would take his people to a strange land and make them a great nation. That was the promise that God made to Abraham. I will make of you a great nation. And one more thing, as we think about Jacob and we think about the Word of God, Jacob knew that God had revealed His Word to Joseph in a dream years earlier. And Joseph would be great. And Jacob could now see evidence by the testimony of his sons concerning Joseph, and also the evidence of those wagons that had come from Egypt filled with goods and possessions to take care of Jacob and his family. You see, Jacob was making a decision not only to go to see his son Joseph, but Jacob was being obedient to the Word of God. Jacob was confronted with the Word of God. I would stand before you this morning, and I've said this. As a matter of fact, in the last few weeks in our 11:30 service, we've been talking about how we might walk by faith and live by faith, and we've been looking at some of those principles. Faith is always connected to the Word of God. When I stand before you this morning and I say that Jacob made a step of faith, that Jacob made decisions of faith in going to Egypt, that faith had to be based upon the Word of God. Faith is always connected to the Word of God. One of our main conclusions in that teaching in the last few weeks is this, is that faith is always connected to the Word of God. There can be no faith apart from that connection to the Word of God. And so when Jacob now comes to Beersheba on the southernmost border of Canaan, he stops to worship one more time in the land of promise. Now, follow me now in your thinking, because he's going to Egypt, he's going to see Joseph, and yet he's following the commands of God. He's basing this on the Word of God. And yet he stops to worship one more time in the land of promise. And again, we see a glimpse into his heart. His life has been hard. There were plenty of ups and downs in Jacob's life. There was a constant struggle in his life with pride and selfishness. And he stops there in Beersheba to worship. He wants to make sure that this is the right thing. He's leaving the land that God gave him. Folks, it would be almost 500 years before the children of Israel would worship again in the land of promise. This is the last worship service in Canaan for Jacob and his family. Now, Beersheba is important. It's the last stop in Canaan. But even more, Jacob was very familiar with Beersheba. His grandfather Abraham had worshipped here at Beersheba. More than 40 years before Jacob's birth, his grandfather Abraham had made a covenant with Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, at Beersheba. Abraham had planted a tamarisk tree here in Beersheba, and it was here in Beersheba that Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. It was an important place in their family. It was at Beersheba that Jacob's father Isaac had seen the Lord, and the Lord confirmed his promises to Isaac there at Beersheba, and God promised to bless him and multiply his descendants. And his father Isaac dug a well at Beersheba. It was at Beersheba that Jacob had tricked his father by stealing the blessing from his brother Esau, and then Jacob fled north away from the anger of his brother Esau. And no doubt, as Jacob and his family camped in Beersheba, and perhaps he even drank water from the well that his father had dug, he was flooded with memories of his life. You see, I think that Jacob wanted to be absolutely sure that it was the right thing to leave the land of Canaan. He knew the promises of God about Canaan. He knew the Word of God concerning the descendants of Abraham going to a strange land. He knew and heard of the dreams of Joseph. But he also knew how important it was to be close to God. Did God want him to make this move? Brothers and sisters, we can learn from Jacob. We struggle so often with the will of God. What does God want me to do in this situation? Does God want me to move? Does God want me to take a new job? Does God want me to go to this school or that school? You see, Jacob shows us in this passage that we must look to the Word of God. We must be close to God. This will guard us. This will protect us as we seek the will of God. I believe that Jacob wanted guidance from God, and that's why he worshiped. That's why he stopped at Beersheba. Folks, we can never expect direction from God unless we're in God's Word and we're close to God. That's the example we see in Jacob's life here. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that by presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices, by renewing our minds, that happens through the Word of God, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like what one Bible teacher said. He said this, "Seek to have no will of your own so that you can honestly say that you are willing to do the will of God." Simply means that we have to lay our will aside and we look to the will of God. And folks, the good news to us today is this, that God has revealed His will to us by His Word. This is the revealed will of God. Now, Jacob, I think, was fearful about this move to Egypt. He wanted so much to see Joseph. But there was fear in moving this little group of people from the land of Canaan to Egypt. And it's at this point, at this place, as Jacob comes to God in worship, that God speaks to him. Look at verse 2. Genesis 46, verse 2. "Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, 'Jacob, Jacob.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And so he said, 'I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes.'" Now let's understand this. At precisely his time of need, God reveals Himself to Jacob. There are six things that God says to Jacob in this passage, and He gives these things to Jacob for comfort and help. And folks, we can also be comforted by these truths. Let's see what God said to Jacob. First of all, notice that God tells him, "I am God, the God of your father." Brothers and sisters, God is always our greatest comfort. Whatever we may be facing, whatever is coming into our lives, God is always our greatest comfort. Notice that God identifies Himself to Jacob as God. The Hebrew word here is Elohim. It means one of power and strength, the creator, the sustainer. It's like He says to Jacob, "Jacob, I am God. And I'm all powerful, and I've made you, and I will sustain you." And then God identifies Himself as the God of your father. I think He says that to remind Jacob of the promises. You see, God made a covenant with Isaac, his father, and Abraham, his grandfather. God made a covenant with Jacob himself, and I think that God is reminding Jacob of that covenant in this statement. "I am God, and I will keep my promises. And I've made promises to Abraham and to Isaac. And I've made promises to you, Jacob, and I will keep my promises." That has to be an encouragement to Jacob. And brothers and sisters, that can be an encouragement to us. What God says He will do, the promises that He makes, He will keep. Notice second that God says, "Do not fear to go down to Egypt." And so God is giving Jacob His approval for this move to Egypt. Though God's promise was connected to the land of Canaan, and Jacob knew this, God is saying, "Jacob, it's okay to move. It's okay to go to Egypt." So there's no negative from God. There's no silence from God. God approves this move to Egypt. This is God's revealed will. At this point in history, God speaks directly to His people. And He speaks to Jacob and He says, "Go down to Egypt." This is God's sovereign plan. And God reinforces the truth to Jacob. Jacob, you can trust me. Go down. You can trust me. Notice number three, that God says, I will make you a great nation there. There. There in Egypt. You see, I'm sure the thought of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob initially was, according to God's word, that God would make them a great nation. It was connected to the land of Canaan, to the promised land. And yet, God says to Jacob here, I will make you a great nation there. Folks, this is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:2, I will make you a great nation. That promise was extended to Isaac and then to Jacob. And it's there in Egypt, of all places, that God would fulfill His promise. Now, God did not give the details to Jacob. God did not tell him exactly how that would happen. God did not tell him how large his family would become. All Jacob knew was that God made a promise to him, and God would keep that promise. Folks, do you realize that when you peel everything away from a life of faith, it comes down to this. God has made us promises, and we must trust His promises. God has spoken to us in His Word, and He's given us great promises. And the question in our lives is this, will we believe God? Will we trust God in what He says and what He's promised? Notice number four, God says, I will go down with you to Egypt. What an encouragement that has to be to Jacob. You see, I think that Jacob had to think about his life even as God speaks to him. Jacob had not always considered God. Much of his life was Jacob doing what Jacob wanted. But in all of his life, God was with him. And why? Because God promised to be with him. God chose Jacob, and God promised to be with him. And now God promises to be with him in Egypt, of all places. That dangerous place, that compromising place, that place that would be a hazard to the people of God. God promised to be with him in Egypt. Folks, one of the greatest blessings and privileges that God's people can experience is the presence of God. And God makes that promise. He is with us. He will never leave us. Jacob needed to see God for who He truly is. And He is not a God that is limited to a certain place, to the place of Canaan, or to a specific place. But God is God over all. He says, I will be with you in Egypt. And folks, God will be with you wherever He sends you and whatever He sends in your life. Notice number five. He says, I will also surely bring you up again. God will not leave Jacob's family in Egypt forever. In faithfulness to His word and faithfulness to His promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, He would bring His people out of Egypt. He says to Jacob, go down to Egypt. It's okay to do that. I will be with you. But Jacob, don't you forget, I will bring you out of Egypt. I will bring you out. And this old man needed to hear this. God would not leave him there. God would bring them back to the land of promise. Jacob could say goodbye to Canaan with the full assurance that God was in this move to Egypt. And then number six, God says, Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. What a precious promise. We read in Psalm 116, verse 15, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And now God gives Jacob assurance. Now, Jacob, your son Joseph is going to close your eyes. You will make it to Egypt. You will be united with your son. And when the day comes for me to take you home and gather you to your fathers, it is your son Joseph who will close your eyes. The face of Joseph will be the last thing that you see before you come home. The one that you thought that you would never see again. Will be the one who closes your eyes before you come to me. Brothers and sisters, that is the amazing grace of God. That is the work of God Almighty in the life of Jacob. God knew Jacob's love for his son, and God grants Jacob this blessing that Joseph, his son, will be with him when he dies. Now let's not lose sight of what Jacob and his family face, because they're facing a whole new life. He was moving from his simple, rural, shepherd life in Canaan to the sophisticated, polytheistic, worldly lifestyle of Egypt. And folks, there was a real danger that the people of Israel would lose their distinctiveness, that the family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would lose their distinctiveness if they moved to Egypt. And what we see here is not just a family on the move, but we actually see a nation on the move. When Jacob and his family leave Canaan, there'll be no more Israelites there. The family of Israel, the family of Jacob will leave the land of promise. They are Israel. They are the people of God and the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And this small group of people, about 70 of them, connected to God through His promise to them, will now move to the land of Egypt. And they will become a nation within a nation. And God will work wonders for the whole world to see through this family and through this people, the family of Jacob. First part of Genesis chapter 46 is truly a blessing. And folks, I am encouraged by Jacob, because most of the time when I look at Jacob, even as I've done so in this series of sermons, most of the time that I look at Jacob, I see myself. And I see myself struggling with pride. And I see myself struggling with selfishness. I see myself struggling with going my own way and doing what I want to do. And yet here in this chapter, we see a man that God is changing. He's 130 years old. Don't ever say that you're too old to change. Don't ever say that you're too old for God to work in your life. Jacob is 130 years old, and no doubt he is stooped and wrinkled and white-haired. How can he do this? He has to trust God. And folks, we can always trust God. And we must always trust God. Verse 5 says, "Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And so they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him. His sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him." And Father, help us in our weakness to move from a trust and a confidence in ourselves, in our strength, in our power, in our wisdom, and humble ourselves before you and trust you. Father, there may be someone here this morning who's never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. God, by your grace, you offer that today. And Father, we will trust your work in the lives of hearts present today. Help us. We cry unto you. We would trust you. We would look to you. And Father, wherever you put us, whatever you would send into our lives, may our confidence be in you and you alone. We thank you for your word this morning, for this time of worship. We give you glory, for you deserve it all. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.